This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. Time for our fiscal cliff countdown, just 3 weeks until the end of the year, which means just 21 days, give or take, until some big spending cuts and tax hikes kick in, and maybe pitch us back into recession. If you're an investor, and many of you are, this must feel like a bad dream, one we can't even wake up from. To soothe all of you stockholders, I've invited Marketplace Chief Economics Correspondent Chris Farrell onto the show. Welcome, Chris.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great, thank you. Last week, I was chatting with Bob Capel, author of Investing and the Irrational Mind. I asked him what he thought about investors who are selling everything as we get closer to the fiscal cliff.
If you are involved in solid companies, then I see no reason to, you know, come out of the market, because I really am of the opinion that this fiscal cliff is just more of a psychological fear factor than an actual, you know, threat to the stability of our markets.
What about the fear factor, Chris? Is that what's driving investor behavior, or is it something else?
You know, this whole fiscal cliff, it's fear-mongering. You go online and you can see the fiscal cliff clocks, and you think it is the end of the world. You know, I have that song, Jaws, in the back of my mind, where you have the shark coming, you know. But the thing is, you listen to what people are saying, we actually really don't know what's going to happen. What is going to be the capital gains rate? And how many people are going to be affected by the increase in the capital gains rate if it does go from 15% to 20% that people are talking about? What will be the increase in upper tax brackets if that happens? And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And the most important thing for people to remember is come January 1, nothing changes.
Really?
Nothing changes. There's nothing. No cliff. It's because if you look at the forecast that the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, has made about getting a recession in 2013 and the unemployment rate going up to 9.1%, if we don't get an agreement on the fiscal cliff, that hits in the fourth quarter. That assumes that we go through all of 2013 having the same discussion that we're having right now. And that, I think, is a pretty safe bet. Won't happen.
It's almost like going to a psychiatrist. Doctor, I have these dreams about going over the fiscal cliff. My taxes are skyrocketing. My investments are going belly up. What should I do? What are the professionals, Chris, telling worried investors to do?
Well, first of all, take a look at the stock market. It hasn't fallen apart. I mean, it's drifted down, and you know, but you have a lot of volatility. But there's, you know, there's no Armageddon going on in the stock market. What about interest rates? Now, interest rates is a measure of how much investors around the world are panicking. Have you seen any movement in interest rates? I haven't seen much of a movement in interest rates.
You're making a good point.
There is an old adage: the real danger at times like this is making a rash decision. Most of us are not really wealthy. Most of the people listening to the show, I'm sorry to say, I wish you all were, but not everybody listening to the show is a multimillionaire. And if you are a multimillionaire and you live mostly off of dividends and capital gains, you know, there are some issues for you to address. But for most middle-class folk, you know, it's their home is the major asset, and then their retirement plan, their 401k. And this fiscal cliff does not have a whole lot of implications for either one, at least on the tax front.
Is there precedent, Chris, for this type of behavior by investors?
Oh, there's lots of precedent. We can go back to the 1986 Tax Reform Act. And this was the last time that we had major tax reform in the United States. And it was also a moment of bipartisan compromise. President Ronald Reagan, Dan Roskinkowski on the Democratic side. So, you know, you really had a major change in our tax system. You had a lot of buying. You had a lot of selling. Capital gains went from 20% to 28%. You know, in the end, not a whole lot changed. We went through the crash in 1987. Then that wasn't directly because of tax reform. And then you had the greatest bull market in history. So here's one of my questions. What if investors come out of this believing that we're on a more credible path with our debt and our deficit and the economy continues to get stronger? You might, and I can only say might, you might have saved some money on your taxes, but you might miss a really strong economy, which is usually good for stocks.
Then we need to call Ben Bernanke and come up with another term for what you just described, right?
Well, I like the term fiscal squeeze. It doesn't have quite the the resonance. The other thing, Tony, this is the traditional time of year when you look at your taxes.
Right.
And if you do have capital gains, capital losses, you have a taxable portfolio, maybe in your mutual funds or individual stocks and bonds, go through there and, you know, reap some gains and offset the gains with some losses. So do what you normally do at this time of year and probably, you know, turn away from the internet for a little bit. If we do have a worse than expected scenario, if you have savings, you'll get your way through it.
Chris Farrell is the senior economics correspondent for Marketplace. Thanks, Chris, very much.
Thanks a lot.